I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. In our series, Great Expectations, we're talking to people who've broken barriers. Sometimes their expectations for their own lives, sometimes other people's expectations of how much they could achieve. Ask and ye shall receive has been Anthony Jewett's motto. 9 years ago, Anthony was ready for college, but his parents didn't have the $30,000 that it would take to pay for his first year. Somehow, Anthony had the notion that if he just told the school he was short on cash, money would rain from the sky. Here to tell us what actually happened, no dollars literally fluttering from the clouds, but close enough, is Anthony Jewett. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. You definitely have a powerful sense of conjuring. But before we get to that, tell us a little bit about your family economically and also their expectations for you.
I came from a low-income background, one would say, in Florida. My mom was a teenage mom with four kids in South Florida. And I guess the fact that we didn't have a lot didn't mean that my mom didn't expect a lot. I've always had some great expectations and some great aspirations for what I would do in life.
One of the first things that you did was make sure that you went to a good high school. What kind of high school was it, and how did you fit into it?
My high school was a Catholic private preparatory high school, and I didn't really fit in. I mean, there were 11 black students at my school. It was a wonderful community, but it was one that took some getting used to after coming from a public school system and being one of only 11 black kids and sort of the only African-American boy in all the honors and AP classes. And so it was an interesting transition, but one that really bolstered my confidence in my ability to excel in life. I'm really grateful for that experience.
Did you ever say, you know, even for a moment, you know what, I would give up the fact that I am able to take AP classes if only I could just be someplace where I felt like I fit in more and I had more friends who were like me? Or did you just not even see that as an option?
No, that was my everyday wish. I think I actually went and chose the college that I went to because of that same feeling. 4 years of sort of being the representation of my community and of black people, if you will, in my high school, even though it was a wonderful place, really made me certain that I wanted to go to a historically black college. I knew, as a matter of fact, Morehouse was basically the only school that I applied to because I just wanted to go somewhere where I had the option of either being an absolute superstar if I worked hard enough or of being just another face in the crowd of a bunch of other smart black guys.
Before you went to Morehouse, however, you went to a summer program there, and how'd you manage to pay for that?
I set my sights on it, and I realized after I looked up the program that it actually cost about $3,500. And of course, my mom didn't have that. I think my mom made about $900 a month at the time. And so I did what anybody would do. I decided that some really nice people had allowed me to have some other great experiences and travel abroad when I was younger. And I wrote some letters, one to Morehouse, and I wrote one to some community leaders in my community, and they happened to hook me up with this gentleman who was one of the wealthier men in our community. And I didn't have any idea that, like, you know, 16-year-olds didn't do stuff like this. And so I managed to sit down with this gentleman and have an audience with him, and he actually donated the funds that I needed to pay for that summer program.
But he asked for a little something in return.
He did ask for a little something in return. It was funny. He invited me over to his house, and I didn't, you know, I didn't know what to expect. They invited me over to his house, and my grandmother and I sat down in the living room, and he, for about 3 or 4 hours, read the Bible to me, talked to me about business and life expectations, and told me that he just wanted to hear from me after the experience was done.
First of all, were you able to get through his soliloquy without nodding forward and a little bit of sleep? Did he keep you enraptured?
I was raised well, and so, you know, you learn to really pay attention, especially to grown folks. So he did. It was interesting. I mean, I was sitting in this man's high-rise apartment when I lived in a housing project, right? And thinking about, what is he going to read to me next? And but I did. We did. We had a good conversation. It's something I will always remember.
Have you stayed in touch with him since?
You know what? I have not. He and his wife, it was funny, they bought, I guess they gave up kind of their lavish lifestyle and bought an RV, after that summer, and I haven't heard from them since.
So they're out, they're on the road again. All right, let's flash forward to Morehouse. You said it was the only place you ever wanted to go, but it is not cheap. And so, so what did you do when faced with the fact that dream school on one hand, nightmare cost on the other?
I knew that Morehouse was the only place that I wanted to go. I saw a poster when I was in ninth grade. And so I set my sights there. Some people didn't understand, but I was like, this is where I'm going to go. And after that summer program, I absolutely knew that Morehouse was a school I would wear on my heart and on my sleeve. Of course, didn't have the money to make the ends meet. And so I did what any, you know, normal 17-year-old would do. I wrote a letter to the president and asked him for the money that I needed to go to school.
Can you read us just a couple sentences from that letter?
I actually don't have the letter in front of me.
Too bad.
Well, I'm sorry.
Paraphrase for us. I'm sure that, you know, it was such an important moment. You've got to at least just give us a taste of what kind of approach you took.
Well, I sent a letter to Dr. Walter Massey, who was our president at the time, and I said, you know, Dr. Massey, I've had a chance to talk to you. You may not remember me, but I've had a chance to talk to you about two times over the last couple of months. And I really, really have to ask you for something. I am a 17-year-old EMT, director of an after-school program, and I've worked really hard. My mom and my sisters don't have a lot of money, and please, please, please don't think that I'm being greedy, but I'd appreciate if you could talk to the folks in admissions and scholarships about helping me out, because I haven't gotten the reception that I really, really think I deserve. And so if you could call somebody on my behalf, I'd appreciate it.
And what happened?
Nothing happened for about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I got really scared, to tell you the truth. It was nearing sort of time when all of my friends were getting together and having their college announcements made at our school. And I thought, well, he just really didn't take me seriously at all. I don't know what I'm going to do. And maybe, you know, it wouldn't be so bad to have to go to a state school at home, but Morehouse was where I knew I needed to be. And about 2 weeks later, though, I got a scholarship offer in the mail, asking you shall receive a scholarship offer in the mail. That was a scholarship for tuition, room, board, fees, and books for 4 years at Morehouse.
You must have felt like you were walking on starlight.
I think I jumped around and danced around for more time. My whole family celebrated that moment with me. You know, there's some of the folks that we work with that say when a kid goes to college, they break the cycle of poverty in their family for years to come, and indeed forever. And I think my whole family celebrated that moment.
We actually spoke to you before, not about this aspect of your life, but about something that you've started called Bardoli Global. Just quickly remind us about that project, and how does it fit into the lessons that you've learned from getting your education?
I think my entire life, from my scholarship to my high school to the trips abroad that I had that I mentioned, to my scholarship to Morehouse, and everything I've had have been a result of the ask and you shall receive. And so Bardoli Global is my way of paying it forward. It's we provide international exchange and leadership development opportunities to outstanding African-American, Latino, and Native American students across the United States. And the idea is that one powerful opportunity changes the lives of people forever. And kids can be taught how to take advantage of those opportunities if you just extend them one. If you think international exchange is probably the most powerful one given our increasingly global society today.
Well, Anthony, it's been great talking to you again. You take care.
Thank you very much, ma'am. You take care, too.
Anthony D. Jewett is president and CEO of Bardoli Global Incorporated. It's a nonprofit designed to find funding for low-income kids of high school and college age who want to study abroad. And Anthony joined us from radio station KUHF in Houston.